Fantasy sports and politics.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Hello, ladies. It's Mr. FSP. Giving it to you the way you need to get it, because I got it. Yeah. For the gentlemen, just stick around, listen, because I'm here doing what I do, because I do it for you always and forever. Y'all probably too young to know that song. Anyway, this is Fantasy Sports and Politics. I am your host, Mr. FSP. And if you want to call in, you can call in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino .com hotline. Just dial 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220, Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino, where winners win and players play. So why don't you go over there and play today? As, of course, I'm a winner, you're a winner, but not everybody here is a winner. Sometimes there are wieners and winners that want to be winners that are wieners. And that brings on JT ATM Money. What's up, JT?
You are a funny guy, but I happen to be a winner this year, and you, my friend, are not.
Hold on, hold your horses there, Big Poppy. Dog, I am a winner. I am in the championship. I'm not proud to say this, ladies and gentlemen, I entered 20 leagues this year. 20 leagues. I made the playoffs in five of them, so roughly one quarter of the leagues. I'm in the championship in one of them, which isn't a good ratio.
Piss poor ratio.
Hey. You know what? No one asked you.
Poor ratio.
I got
very bad. That's very bad. That's extremely bad.
Hey, last year I was hot to trot nonstop. I know somebody else wasn't as good, didn't make it to any championships last year. But I'm not going to speak of their names, JT, Jerry Taylor.
Let me put it this way. We can go back and forth all show. But let me put it this way. Last year, I'd have to say, because the year prior to that, I had won a couple championships, and I was resting on my laurels, I have to say, because I thought I could do a lot of moves, which I did. Some of them, quite a bit of them were stupid moves, trading-wise, and caused me not to do well toward the end of the season. This year, before the season, I had stated quite eloquently, more than once. More than once on several shows that I was focused, that I was going to win multiple championships, and I have done so up until this point.
You only won one.
I have won two. One that you're in, and like I said, I have won one in my family league. And believe it or not, it's a 12-team league, which is very competitive, extremely competitive, and I came out on top this year. So I have won multiple championships, and I'm in the running to win one more. I'm not saying I'm going to win it, because that would be foolish on my part, but at least I have a shot. So,
well, you know what?
What I'm saying is this. What I have said, it has come to fruition. I was in 11 leagues, seven of which were paying leagues. I was in the playoffs in all of those paying leagues, all of those leagues, I was in the playoffs. I was in the semifinals in 1, 2, 3 of those leagues, okay? One of them which I have gone to the Super Bowl. The other three, I've either lost in the semis or lost in the Super Bowl. I had 4 Super Bowl opportunities, and I won 2 of them. I think that's a pretty good ratio, 50%. And I'm in the Super Bowl one more. So 3 out of the 5 Super Bowls, I have a chance to win 3 of them out of the 5, which is a very good ratio when I have 7 paying, 7 money leagues. Do you not think so?
Well, you know, I'd say
it's
that's
either yes,
good.
Is it a yes, or is it a no?
That's
plain and simple.
Okay, you know, since you're gonna do that, I'll do it like this. No.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I said no. Anyway, I gave you a
drum roll.
Okay,
that's fine. That's fine. That's a pretty good ratio.
I'm being difficult. So all I got to say is, Mr. Taylor, that you did a fine job. And, you know, I hope you are able to pull out one victory. Now, I don't want to pay you. So, you know, I'm just saying. Lose, son. Just lose.
Well, let me put it this way. Regardless of how it turns out tomorrow night, it would be the final game. Regardless how it turns out, I'm a winner. For the simple fact is, every paying league that I was in, I got to the playoffs, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all my leagues, at least I got to the semis. And 4 of those 7 leagues, I got to the Super Bowl. I should say 5 of those 7 leagues, I got to the Super Bowl. So I cannot complain. I think that's a damn good job on my part, if I do say so myself.
And it was. I'm giving you a hard time because I
know you are
this year. But baseball's gonna kick it off for me, and I'm going to destroy.
You keep saying that.
Don't even do it.
I'm telling you, stick to fantasy football, because I keep on telling you the same thing over and every year. I tell you the same thing before I joined your league and while I'm in your league. You suck at baseball.
Whatever. Anyway, you know what? We're going to wait on my boy Sean Leak to call in and give you the business.
He don't give me business. If you look at the scoring between Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins, Drew Brees came out on top. True, it wasn't by that much, but Drew Brees came out on top, technically.
Hey.
He came out better.
Well, in his scoring system, it wasn't that much of a difference. And the way you guys were talking, you know, it's going to be head and shoulders above what Kirk Cousins is going to do. So we're going to wait for Sean. Sean leaked the call in before we jump onto that board of conversation, since we're talking about, you know, winning championships and Super Bowls. He did mention that he did the sensible thing with his defense. He played Kansas City. I mean, who would have thought that Kansas City was going to lay an egg against Indianapolis, Kansas City, of all places, and not giving the points there. And he had Buffalo's defense, which did a shutout last week and gave him a lot more, but he played Kansas City. So, you know, it is what it is, but we'll wait for Sean to call in and discuss that. But ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, FSP brings to you UFC 168, and yes, we're talking UFC, Mr. Taylor. This is a highly anticipated card because it's the end of the year card for the company, and it's stacked with championship fights, heated rivalry fights. So we're going to discuss that. Also, the discussion, Rogers versus Cutler, a budding rivalry or nothing to talk about. We're going to discuss the Cowboys and Tony Romo going on injury reserve. Will the Cowboys finally go to the playoffs and win a game without Romo? And even with his current numbers, is Romo a Hall of Famer? According to his numbers, he is. According to his numbers. We'll talk about that a little bit. As well as NFL Week 17 start sits and a lot of things. But all of this is brought to you by a great sponsor, a place where you need to go. Especially I want to thank some folks in Florida who jumped on board. But go to FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. Go there today, place your wagers, UFC 168, college football, NFL Week 17, whatever you can think of, it's there. All types of scoring, all types of things around the world. That's FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. All right, JKDT and Money, we're going to talk about a subject first that I know you don't really like, but it's worth discussing because the UFC, it's grown. It's grown a lot. And it's putting on three big fights on pay-per-view tonight, two of which are championship fights. One is a number one contender for the heavyweight title fight, and the other two on pay-per-view are supposed to be slobber knockers. What I mean by that is just knuckle-dragon knockout fights. The main event on the prelims is a very exciting fight. Chris Leben, who is a monster in the cage, versus Uriah Hall, who is an up-and-coming, extraordinarily good mixed martial artist. He was the favorite to win tough last season, but he did not. Unfortunately, he lost in the semifinals or something like that year before, and he should have won, but that's supposed to be a very good fight. Yeah. Would you like to add anything before we break down these fights?
No.
He says no. Well, ladies and gentlemen, online prelims, which are going to be aired on Facebook for free, streamed live on Facebook. Just go to UFC Ultimate Fighting Championship page on Facebook. They are going to stream two free fights. And this all happens in Las Vegas, of course. But you have Robbie Peralta versus Esteban Payon. Both these fighters have four losses and one no decision. Robbie is 16-4, and Esteban, because, you know, the V sounds like a B in other languages, is 14-4. Now, Robbie is a knockout guy. 75% of his wins have come by knockout, okay? Esteban is a mixed bag of sorts. He pretty much takes it to decision. 43% of his fights go to decision. This is a 145-pound weight class. The thing about this is it's more of a defensive style of a fight, whereas Esteban is a very good defender. 62% of takedowns are thwarted, whereas with Robbie, 76% of the takedowns are thwarted. Now, on takedown accuracy, Esteban doesn't look to take people down. He looks to stand up, looks to throw a little bit and kick a little bit, whereas Robbie likes to try to take him to the ground. About a third of the time, he's pretty good at that. The thing about this fight is Esteban is labeled as El Terrible, and Robbie is called The Problems. Now, last week we talked about somebody that was called a problem, and that problem got solved. And what would that problem's name be, Mr. Taylor?
Excuse me?
You ain't even paying me no attention. What a great co-host. I said last week we talked about somebody that was a problem. Do you know who that problem's name is?
No. What are you talking about?
Broner. Broner. Broner was the problem. He got solved. Anyway, in this UFC fight, I've got Esteban.
I was starting a quarterback, second year quarterback over a 10-year veteran. He's not going to get enough points. You know what's going to happen?
He has no idea that we have him on live air right now.
Who's that?
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Sean Leek. That's the gentleman that was going to discuss the outcome of his Super Bowl matchup. And I guess tell us why he chose what he chose. But let me finish this analysis here. I'm picking Esteban to win this match because I think he's going to try to KO Robbie. He's going to keep him on his feet. But Robbie Peralta is a pretty good fighter. So it wouldn't surprise me if he comes up with a decision. But I'm going to pick Esteban to win. But let's transition real quick to Sean Leek. Welcome to the show, Sean. Well, welcome back to the show. Well, let me refresh the memories of the listeners, those that may not remember and those that are new to the show today. Sean came on the show, yes, last week at my request because last week he had a great question posted on his Facebook page. That question was, should he start Kirk Cousins over Drew Brees? So pretty much all last week we had a great discussion about that. Should, you know, someone sit a player that they had all year, riding them all year, especially when they're in the Super Bowl, for somebody that could possibly give them a better start. And Sean's thought was to go ahead and start Kirk Cousins versus a very porous Dallas Cowboy defense. Now, last week we had a couple other co-hosts on. We had my cousin, we had Reverend Fantasy also jump on and state that it was a bad move that Drew Brees was going to be head and shoulders above Kirk Cousins. And then Jake A.T. Money is one of those people as well. JT has corresponded back and forth a little bit with Sean and stated that it really, he was right. JT was right, that he should have played Drew Brees. Now, the numbers don't quite say it, but I'm going to let Sean break that, then I'm going to let JT rebut. So let's go there real quick. Sean, Flicker Leek, tell us how your Super Bowl ended and, you know, your analysis of what we said to do last week.
Vic, well, again, I originally made the switch just for the fact of, again, not an indictment on Brees, but just because who we were playing, the poorest defense in Dallas Cowboys, who Brees was playing, the defense that's been coming on as of lately and stalwarting themselves, the Carolina Panthers. Now, as it turned out, I don't know how other you guys' fantasy points are tallied up, but at the end of the day, the fantasy points for me was Kirk Cousins with 10 and Drew Brees with 11. So, excuse me. So, yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, what's the guy I was going back and forth with on Facebook with you earlier this week? What's his name?
Jerry Taylor. JT, he's on the line right now.
Jerry.
Yes.
I think it was Jerry. Yeah. Jerry told me 1 point can make a difference, which it most certainly can. But I think in the context of how we were discussing it, it was just almost like, you know, it's no way you can even think about making that because Drew Brees is going to get light years more points than Kirk Cousins. And it wasn't that I was my guy who said I was drinking the juice. It wasn't that I was drinking the juice. It was just that I felt that, given the circumstances of what was in front of me, I felt like Kirk Cousins was going to come through with a lot more points. Well, not a lot more, but just more points. And I think maybe the field conditions might have had something to do with that, and the fact that we did a bit more running than what the Redskins normally do this week to kind of limit it. And a lot of underneath stuff the Redskins were throwing. So, you know, it didn't play out all the way like I thought it would have, but nonetheless, I think it was comparable as far as points go.
Well,
I agree. Whoa, hold on, Jerry. Hold on. What was the outcome of the Super Bowl?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know, it's 2 weeks to it, so this is the last week coming up tomorrow. But right now, I'm up 66-60.
Hello?
Say again?
Can you hear me? Right now, I'm up 66-60.
Oh, so you're up 6 points as opposed to 7 points. But that's okay.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I got your back, brother. I got your back. I'm going to let Jason jump on the line.
Okay.
Because let me put it this way.
About
this week too.
Excuse me?
Because I was going to talk about this week in his matchups this week. But
okay,
ahead.
Now, we can talk about this, but what I'm going to talk about is this week. Like I said, 1 point can make a difference. Now, I also talked about that. Now, in my opinion, the biggest disappointment from last week of these two quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins had the better matchup between those two quarterbacks. So Kirk Cousins is really the biggest disappointment. The one I said could give you the more consistent numbers, which he did, even though he only threw one touchdown, but he gave you the yards that we almost approximated at about 250 yards. He gave you 291 yards. So even though it was just a one-point difference in the scoring of your league, what I was saying was right, that Drew Brees will give you the consistent numbers, and just because Kirk Cousins had that ideal matchup did not mean that he was going to do what you thought he was going to do against the worst defense. And that's the problem with a second-year backup quarterback that you put in to think that he's going to put up the numbers that other backup quarterbacks have put up against the Dallas Cowboy defense. Drew Brees is a more consistent quarterback. Even if he was going up against a division rival in their house, he was more inclined to put more passing yards up. I was disappointed because he only threw one touchdown, like I said again. But he's in a passing offense for the most part, where Washington Redskins are for the most part in a running offense, quite naturally with that backup quarterback. They're going to run the ball, especially against Dallas. So even though it's 1 point, that 1 point can make a difference because you have a two-week match, and you're only up by 6 points. That 1 point could make a difference. And I still say that Drew Brees was the best play, even though it was only a one-point difference, because you get more consistent play from Drew Brees than you would from Kirk Cousins, and it was proven out last week when he had an ideal matchup. And he only was able to – he wasn't even able to outpoint Drew Brees in an ideal matchup. So – I don't know what to say with that.
Brees got that last point in the last 23 seconds. I know it's going to make a difference.
It doesn't make a difference. You go the whole game, it doesn't make a difference. Could have, would have, should have. Don't make a difference.
I'll tell you like this. That, you know what, but see, Jerry, and I got to defend Sean on this, and you know, every opportunity I get to go against you, I do. But
Cousins was the biggest disappointment.
Well, yeah, he was, but at the same time, I told you that with Brees going against that Carolina defense, he wasn't
sure
looking for 400 yards. He barely got over 200.
Wait a minute. He got 291 yards and one touchdown and threw two picks. What did Red Fantasy and I say last week? Or what did we say? 250 yards,
nah,
and two touchdowns.
He got more yards than we said,
and he got one less touchdown. So pretty much they equated out to the same thing.
However, the point that was being made was that Drew Brees was going to outperform Kirk Cousins.
He did.
Wait a minute. You're talking on a larger scale. and he did not. And my point is that, and I spoke with you guys this last week, because when you brought up Tom Brady, I was like, no, I'm benching Tom Brady, and I'm starting Andy Dalton. What did Andy Dalton do last week? He killed
Victor.
What?
Now,
I said
and actually said, when we went through the games, Andy Dalton plays better at home. I said that because he does. They're undefeated at home. They're undefeated. That's not a no-brainer play. It's sitting Tom Brady and playing Andy Dalton at home.
But, JP, the point is that we were
– I would have never
– Sean and I were discussing, you know, the point of not playing one of those quality players that brought you where you were for the opportunity to play somebody that would have a better game. And that was the whole point of the conversation.
And he had a better – Kirk Cousins had a better matchup than Drew Brees, and he didn't even outpoint him. He had the worst defense in the NFL that he went against, and he couldn't outpoint Drew Brees going against the number two rated defense. Come on. You got to give me that. Come on.
Don't have an aneurysm. We still love you, bro.
But you got to give me that. Come on. He didn't outpoint him, and he had ideal. He's playing at home.
Okay.
He had the worst defense, and he still couldn't outpoint him.
Did you watch that game? Did you watch the Redskins game, though?
I look at the bottom line. The bottom line, he didn't outpoint him.
I understand that. Did you watch the game, though?
It didn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference.
I'm not trying to knock you or anything. I just asked a question before I said something.
No, I didn't watch the game. I didn't watch the game. I did not watch the game.
That's okay. It's cool.
I did not watch the game. I watched bits and pieces of it, but then I watched the whole game.
Okay, that's cool. But to be honest with you, before the game kicked off, I was thinking about making the switch because of Kirk's lack of experience in the weather condition. That was working on my mind, but I said, I done came this far now. I might as well got to go with it. And it turns out, although he had 36 pass attempts, that pretty much came kind of late. But we were doing a lot of running in that game early on.
Correct.
And a lot of underneath stuff that Pierre Garçon, a lot of underneath stuff. So, and that pick, goddammit, even though it was behind him, put your hands on the ball, Santana got to catch that. But anyway.
That's the reason.
Huh?
That's the reason why I went with Breeze, because Breeze is going to be throwing the ball. They're in the throwing offense. In Washington, for the most part, they're going to run the ball, especially with Kirk Cousins, and then take their opportunities. He threw 36 times. There's no way I would have set Kirk Cousins, and even though he had an ideal, I just can't trust the second-year quarterback. I just couldn't trust him.
Here's what I got. All right, gentlemen, that was last week. This week,
all right.
John's still in his championship week. Kirk
mm-hmm.
Cousins goes against the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Jared, Drew Brees. I'm going to cut it short right now. I'm going with Breezy. I told you that was a one-week thing. I told you last week. That was a one-week thing. I'm going back.
Well, I know that. You would be a fool not to go with Drew Brees at home against Tampa Bay. Come on.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
So, okay, well, that cuts that, then. I was trying to start another controversy. But,
no, there was no controversy there.
The Giants
have been playing better defense, especially against the quarterback. And there's no way I would trust Kirk Cousins going into MetLife Stadium playing the Giants the way the Giants defense has been playing. So,
Here's my next question, Sean. And, JT, I was going to bring this up, too, but since we got Sean on the phone, might as well discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
We both got shafted last week by the Kansas City Chiefs defense. Now, this week, Kansas City's putting in a lot of their backups, offense
mm-hmm.
and defense. Okay? Last week you said Buffalo. and they gave you 19 points, and Kansas City gave you like
that was
what,
on my
six.
Bench. That I left on my bench, but okay.
Correct. Correct. So my question to you, Sean, knowing what you know, and these players or these teams are playing who they play, are you looking for a different defense, or are you going to roll the dice with one of the two defenses again?
I certainly was on that waiver wire looking for a defense this week. And
I got,
I
got one for you.
Talk to me.
Miami at home against the Jets. If it's still sitting on the waiver wire, you go and leap at it.
Miami. Okay, what do you think about my Buffalo?
Buffalo, they're going up against New England, right?
Yeah.
On it? Okay.
New England's got something. New England's got something to play for. I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole.
True enough. Oh boy, I got to sit Jamal Charles, man. He only gonna play a couple of series.
Well, we told you last week, or I told you last week, you better get Niles,
yep.
What's his last,
yep.
Davis, or Niles,
yep.
Paul. I told you that last week, Sean.
Niles Davis. If you want to roll with the Kansas City offense and you want Jamal Charles, you should have picked him up quite a while ago if nobody else did, so you could have him just for this week.
Niles Davis.
Yeah, because that's Jamal Charles' direct backup. And
yep.
When they announced that Andrew Reid said they're not going to play a full game, and because they have nothing to gain and nothing to lose, why put your starter out there for more than a series? And, you know, Chris Houston is not Chris Houston, the defensive, it is Chris Houston. The defensive end, he's not going to play. Tom Bailey's going to play a few series. Eric Berry played a few series. It's pretty much going to be a preseason game for the Kansas City Chiefs. So
because they
get people.
Right now, for my starters, I got a Zach Stacy and Frank Gore.
Oh, you good.
Okay. Yeah, you're good.
All right.
You're good, then.
You got a flex?
Marino.
Oh, well.
No, Sean?
You good?
I don't know. Well, they're still fighting for – are they fighting for that number one? Because if New England wins
– No. They play at the same time. They're playing at the same time, so they're fighting.
Okay.
They're playing at the same time, so whatever happens, they're going to go for it. So – they're going to be playing like.
I got a different thought on that, and we got to get back to UFC for a minute.
No, we don't.
Avoid nothing. Whatever. Shut up, Jerry. I'm trying to see. Well, Denver going to Oakland. Sean's probably going to have a heck of a game, but Monty Ball's going to sneak in there too. Niles Davis. Going against San Diego's defense, and San Diego's trying to play for a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know. Hey, stick with No Sean. Stick with No Sean.
Hey, absolutely. He's in the flex, so that's a good spot for him in the flex. So you know that in the flex position, that's No Sean. This week is a good spot for him in the flex. You got two stud running backs, Gore. They're playing for something, and so was Zach Stacy. I mean, they're just going to play the season now, but they're playing against Seattle, right? So
who's playing against Seattle?
St. Louis is playing against Seattle. San Francisco is playing against Arizona.
Okay, guys, I know y'all got to move on. Before you move on, though, I just claimed Niles Davis off the waiver. So who would I pick? Stacy? I just claimed.
Ooh.
Let me put it this way.
You have three good running backs sitting there. I know you have Niles Davis. San Diego is not that bad against the deep running backs. Seattle can be gassed, especially I think Zach Stacy gassed him pretty well the last time they played him. So Seattle can be run on. So,
Arizona.
I need an answer, Jerry.
I'm trying to give you my analysis before I give you my decision, okay? Arizona is probably better against the run, believe it or not, than Seattle is. Frank Gore may have a tougher way to go. And they're playing in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
I would sit Frank Gore.
That's what I'm thinking about. sitting Frank Gore, but wow.
Listen, wow. hold on, Jerry. I'll let you think about it for a second. I'm gonna give you a story, Sean. I'm gonna give you a quick story.
Okay, what's up?
Week before last, I made a ballsy move. Because I too have Frank Gore in one of my leagues. I set Frank Gore for Ryan Matthews, and I took some flack for it from JT, from Red Fantasy, and some other people. But Matthews outpointed and did everything better than Frank Gore. You got to think about it. Frank Gore is in a timeshare. Yes, he's been doing well lately, but last time they played, he ran the ball 24 times for 101 yards and I believe one touchdown, and that was in San Francisco. I'm telling you, San Fran, and I predicted, if you listen to our shows, and you got to start listening to our shows, in the summertime, I said that this game between San Francisco and Arizona would decide who goes to the playoffs, and I was right. Because the winner of this game is going to the playoffs. And I think Arizona has got the balls to prove that they're going to beat them. They are going to beat San Francisco. Atlanta, if not for that one pass, they would have beaten San Francisco in San Francisco. And I think Arizona's better than Atlanta. The running game, maybe not. But if you're talking about Zach Stacy versus Seattle, tough sledding, but Zach Stacy is a bruising back, and they feed him the ball a lot. So
yeah.
That's a lot. You already know now Davis is going to get the ball a lot because Jamaal Charles isn't going to play that much, according to Andy Reid. He might be pulling out string. You never know. But that's a chance you take there. Frank Gore, you know he's their starter. But you also know he shares time. And you also know that that Colin Kaepernick likes to throw the ball to Vernon Davis, as well as to Crabtree and Anquan Boldin. So Frank might not have that many opportunities to run the ball. For my liking, since you just were able to get this offense, and it's a 4 o'clock game, both of them are 4 o'clock and 4:25, actually. So you can decide then if you're going to sit Frank for Niles. But that's your choice, Niles or Frank. I would sit Frank and start Niles. That is just my opinion. I'll let JT give his, and then
it sounds like it's a consensus. It's both of y'all. If you all had to make that choice, that's what you're gonna go with. So I'm gonna go with it. I'm gonna go with it, and I'm gonna call back in next week and return.
Hey, I gotta work. Hey, Sean, I gotta work next week, so you gonna be talking to Jerry next week.
Oh, see, so you gonna bail? So you gonna bail out on me here? See that?
Hey,
you see that, right?
How am I?
See
I
that, right?
Work. What are you talking about? I gotta work. What do you mean?
Hey, Jerry, I hope we come through okay, man. You gonna get it? I'm telling you, I'm going off the line right now. I picked up Niles Davis. I'm putting him in now. He's there for Frank Gore.
All right.
Hey, guys, hey, thanks, Sean. Man. I appreciate it, huh?
Hey, Sean, next season we play fantasy football for large amounts of money. We also do baseball. So I'm going to invite you to one of our leagues. We do a Yahoo and ESPN.
Fantasy football?
Yeah, fantasy football, fantasy baseball, but
okay.
Football
okay.
Next
okay.
year for sure.
Absolutely. Please do.
Not a problem. So
Please do. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you for calling in on the fantasysportsbookandcasino.com phone line where winners win and players play. Go there today, place your wages, win some money. Enjoy your day. All right. If you want to call back in, Sean, please do so. If not, we're going to catch you later, all right?
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Good luck.
Man.
Good luck.
Okay. All right. Yeah, let us know how you if you win or lose that Super Bowl.
Oh, I'm definitely calling back next week. I'm letting you know.
Hold on, Sean. I got Reverend Fantasy on the line right now, and Reverend Fantasy, welcome to the FSP show. Do you want to talk to Sean, the gentleman that you told him Drew Brees was?
Hey, man, I was under the influence of alcohol at that time.
Hey, but Rev, you got to understand something. We had both said that Drew Brees was going to throw for about 250 yards and two touchdowns.
We weren't totally wrong. I mean, like we said,
yes.
Man. Ride the horse, man. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Ride the horse.
Yes.
Because sure to hell, Kirk Cousins didn't come through. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
Exactly.
I'm going to saddle him up this week.
Hey,
saddle him up, baby. You got to ride him. Plus, the pressure's on. Hey, big game this week for most money players out there. So, big game quarterbacks, man. He's going to come through this week. So,
hey, Rev.
All right.
Rev, before he goes, he goes, I want to get Rev's analysis on four running backs and three that should play and one who will sit. All right, Rev, we got four running backs. Niles Davis, Frank Gore, Zach Stacy, Noshawn Moreno. I think it's a PPR and two running backs and a flex. Three of those
who am
four.
Who am I sitting?
Yes.
Oh, jeez, man. Well, I call me crazy, man. I like Zach Stacy. I mean, just because he's going to get a plethora of carries.
Right.
So something about this. Something good bound to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm riding Stacy.
Okay.
Noshawn's the one that kind of scares me because I'm not sure. Denver's not playing for nothing this week, really.
Sure they are. Yes, they are. They are playing for something this week.
So I'm not sure what they're going to do. So I'm not sure if Monty Ball's going to come in his carry. But if I had to cut one out, I'm going to probably have to cut out. I don't know. Frank Gore.
Oh!
Okay. Oh! Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding. What a
All right,
that's
guys.
Good. That's good. All right, Sean. Call us back next week.
Good show, man.
You'll get JT. Hey, not a problem, dude. You're always open to come on. And we'll see you next year in our fantasy football league.
Absolutely.
Lights out.
We just actually lost Reverend Fantasy this summer.
Hello?
Wow. Yeah, I don't know what happened with Reverend Fantasy. We just lost him.
Okay.
Maybe his phone dropped. But anyway.
Yeah.
Let's go back to. It was kind of good that he called in because we can go back to UFC because he knows about it, and we can discuss it while you sit over there and stew in your corner.
You can go right ahead and discuss your ultimate chump fighting, but whatever. You there? I can barely hear you.
Dude, I don't know what's going on, but you just disappeared on my... Now, there you go. Oh, well. I guess we lost the Rev, and I'm trying not to lose you, Jerry, but who cares about you? Just joking. All right. So, anyway, Ultimate Fighting, JKT and Money. Let's get back to this matchup with the preliminary. Also, on the streaming free on on Facebook, William Macario versus Bobby Volker. Bobby Volker's 24-10, has been in the fight business for quite a while, and William Macario is 7-1. William is a knockout artist. 86% of his wins have come by knockout. Bobby, and remember, he's been in the sport for a while, 79% of his wins have come by knockout. That's crazy. Now, neither one is pretty proficient at submissions or anything like that, but their takedown is pretty good. So I think this is going to be a slobber knock. It's going to be a fist fight. Whereas Bobby, his takedown or accuracy, technical takedown is at 80%. So if he gets you on the ground, he gets you on the ground. His takedown defense is at 72%, whereas William is a 50% takedown, so half the time he's going to hit it. And his defense, he's pretty good. He doesn't get taken to the ground that bad. He's roughly 86% on his takedown defense.
I'm not sure if either one of them are going to try to take each other down. I just know that it looks like it's going to be a big fight. Now, normally, when the UFC puts a young gun that's like 7-1 in the octagon versus a veteran of fighting, it's usually as a fluffer. What do I mean by that? Bobby Volker would be the fluffer. In other words, he's had 34 fights. He's got tons of experience, but there's just something about him that's inconsistent. So therefore, the young guy that's 7-1, coming from a different organization, is pretty much the guy that's going to be favored to win this fight. When 86% of your wins come by KO, you only had 8 fights. That's okay. But when 79% of your victories, you had 24 victories out of 34 fights, are knockout, that means you got some hands, and you're a little inconsistent somewhere. But they're 170 pounds apiece, so that tells me that Bobby Vicious Volker is probably going to try to knock this young gun out and put him in his place. I'm going to give it to Bobby. I'm going to give it to Bobby on this one, only because I think that he has an opportunity here to show that he's a little bit more consistent in the fight game. So that's going to be the free prelims on Facebook. Then when you go to Fox Sports 1, you're going to have 4 matches, John Doomsday Howard versus Syriar Bahadur Dzhajaj, Alphabet. I'll just call him Alphabet because I can't get his last.
Hello? I'm losing you. You're way down. I can't hardly hear you.
All right, well, let me do it like this. I'll put you on speakerphone. We good?
Yes.
All right, here we go. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry about that. But John Howard has 29 fights. He's 21-8, whereas Tyar is 21-5-1 with a total of 27 fights. Neither one of these guys are very spectacular. This card probably should have been, in my opinion, on the free Facebook fights. Doomsday John Howard he looks like he's a mixed bag. He's a mixed bag. Both of these guys win their fights roughly 43% for Howard and 57% for Syriar by KO, but submission, it's kind of high. 29% for Howard and 24% for Syriar. So to me, this is going to be more of a grappling Brazilian jiu-jitsu fight. Now, if Syriar wants to, he has a 71-inch height, and Howard is 67 inches in height, which translates to me, because I don't see the wingspan, of a reach advantage for Syriar, which means he can either jab him to death and make it a boring fight like that, or he can try to, you know, take him to the ground or whatever the case may be. But the interesting thing about this fight, strikes per minute landed, it's kind of off, because John Howard, he lands 1.6 strikes, significant strikes, per minute to only 0.5, which is half a significant strike per minute for Syriar. So I'm going to give this fight, based upon that fact alone, to John Doomsday Howard. We're going to move on to another prelim fight. Now, Dennis Silver is ranked 7th in the world, and this guy is a German guy. He is an animal. He dropped down in weight so he can get more victories and stuff like that. He's going against a pretty good competitor in Manny Gamborian, the Anvil. Now, this cat is 16-8. He wins by submission or decision. 50% of his wins will come by decision. But I can tell you, Dennis Silver, this guy is a straight mauler. I've seen him fight up close and personal. They're fighting at 145 pounds. This guy is going to try to turn it into a fight. Takedown defense for Manny
is 78%, which means that Dennis is going to probably try to keep it on the feet and beat him up. That's pretty much why I see this one. I'm going to go with Dennis mainly because he's ranked number 7, and I've seen him fight in person. He's pretty daggone good. So I'm going to go with there. The next fight is a very good fight as well. Gleason I never get his name right. Gleason Tibau versus Michael the Menace Johnson. Now, Michael the Menace Johnson, he's a very, very talented fighter. Very talented. Gleason. Now, this has potential to become fight of the night, in my opinion, along with Lieben and Hall. Michael Johnson is a very formidable fighter. His takedown defense is at 76%, but Gleason, he rarely gets taken down. 92% of the time, he stops the takedown, which is great. It's pretty awesome. Now, another glaring point here is that Michael Johnson stays busy. He lands about 3.5 significant strikes per minute, where Gleason only lands roughly 2. So that's pretty good. And you know, I think this may become a slugfest. It really may become a slugfest if neither one of them can take each other down and go to the last round. But I'm going to go just because the Menace is pretty daggone good, but he only has 14, total 22 fights versus Gleason, who has 46 fights. He's getting up there in age. He's taking a lot of hits, a lot of bumps, a lot of bruises, and they're fighting at 155. I'm going to go with Michael Johnson on this one for the mere fact that he's a younger, hungrier lion, and that he's looking to make his mark in that weight class. Now to the next fight, which I think is also going to be a pretty good fight. Chris Lieben, the Crippler, this guy loves to fight. He loves to fight. Now, Uriah Hall, Primetime, if you've seen the highlight roundhouse kick that he made in UFC Tough Enough, he is very quick, very agile, very talented, very versatile. This kid is going to shock the world, and I honestly think with a little bit of seasoning, this kid could actually give John Jones a run for his money and probably take the title from if John Jones still holds it when Uriah gets that opportunity. But don't count out Chris Lieben. The guy is 22-10. He's one of these guys that goes forward. He does not go backward at all. Only time he goes backward is if he gets knocked out or knocked down. He's going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. Again, I think this fight has potential to be fight of the night. I'm going to give it to Uriah Hall because he's, to me, more technically gifted. Even though he's only had 12 fights in the UFC, or 12 fights total, and he's 8-4, I think this kid is going to be propelled into the spotlight very, very quickly. He's already gotten the headliner for the prelims on UFC's 168, Fox Sports 1, and this is only, I believe, his second or third fight in the UFC. So that says they see a lot of talent in this guy. Let's move on to the main card that's going to be on pay-per-view. We have in the 145-pound weight class, Dustin Poirier, the number 6 ranked guy, versus Diego Brando. And I'm going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, this 145-pound weight class is no joke. These little guys are going to be going at it. Dustin is 14-3. Diego is 22-8. Only thing I can say in this fight is don't blink. You'll miss something. It's got fight of the night potential as well. Again, this is the last card of the year for UFC, and the last card of the year for UFC is normally a big, big card, and they don't put slouches on it. So in this fight, I'm calling for an upset. I got Diego Brando defeating the number six ranked 145-pound weight class contender, Dustin Poirier, by KO. I'm going to say it again, by KO. I really think it's going to be a very, very tough fight, but I think it's going to wear him down. He's going to win that way. Then the next fight, in the 155-pound weight class, the number 10-ranked Jim Miller faces Fabrico Camus. Now, this is a fight that's pretty similar in style. Both these guys have been in the fight business for a while, whereas Jim Miller's been 22-4, and Fabrico is 14-7-1. The difference here is takedowns. Fabrico averages almost 3 takedowns per fight, whereas Jim Miller, who's a stand-up striking type guy, he takes them down maybe two times per fight. Now, the takedown defense is terrible for both of these guys. 25% of the time, Fabrico stops somebody from taking them down, whereas almost 40% of the time, Jim Miller does. But that tells me that these guys are going to be going at it. They're going to slug, and they're going to try to take each other down and take it to the mat. In that case, Fabrico is a little better guy because both of these guys win by submission. 55% for Jim Miller, 50% of the wins go to Fabrico. But I think that Jim Miller, trying to move up the ladder a little bit, is going to pull this one out. Even though Fabrico is a pretty talented fighter, I think he lacks that experience or that knowledge because his takedown defense, he only stops one out of every four. Miller isn't that much better, but one out of four takedowns and you both win by submission, that doesn't bode well for me, so I'm going to give it to Jim Miller. All right, we got about almost 30 minutes left alive there, so let me hurry up and finish through this card. Now, to the heavyweights. Josh Barnett is ranked number 6. This guy's a former UFC heavyweight champion, contender. I believe he was a heavyweight champion at one time. He went to Pride. He went to Strikeforce. Everywhere Josh Barnett has gone, he has won. And he is an older guy, and he's been in the fight game for nearly 20 years. Nearly 20 years, and the guy is 33-6. Okay, Travis Brown. He's ranked number 5 in the world, so number 5 versus number 6. He's been in the fight game for a little bit as well, 15-1-1. Travis Brown is a brawler. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, he's a brawler. 73% of his victories have come by KO. The problem I see in this fight is that Travis Brown does not have the experience level that Josh Barnett, the War Master, that's his name, the War Master has. Josh Barnett has been in the ring or in the octagon with many, many, many different styles of fighters. And he's fought guys that like to strike and throw kicks and stuff like that. He's not bad himself. Josh Barnett is going to take apart Travis Brown. I'm just telling you what I know. Now, I think if Josh wins this fight, he's going to be catapulted to the number 2 or number 1 contender, because there aren't that many guys that can fight in the heavyweight division and give Cain Velasquez a run for their money. I think Josh Barnett is one of those guys. He's been there, he's done that, and I think he's going to be able to do it again. So I'm picking Josh Barnett to defeat Travis Brown in the third round. He's going to stop him in the third round. All right, let's move on to the women. Oh, my God. Jerry Taylor, are you listening?
I'm listening.
I'm going to tell you right now. I want to tell you. If the two fights that I said before don't make fight of the night, this one will. This is really, there is no love or respect in this fight whatsoever. Ronda Rousey, that wonderful woman that she is, the champion, she's taking on the number 2 contender, Misha Cupcake Tate. Now, these two women literally cannot stand each other. They hate each other. Ronda Rousey hates Misha more than anything that I've ever seen. I mean, literally, she really does. Now, Ronda Rousey is a judo background fighter, but all of her wins, all seven of them, have come by armbar. She's 100% victories by submission. Okay? Misha Tate, she's 13-4. 46% of her wins have come by victory, 31 by decision, 23 by KO. I'm telling you, this is the first fight that Ronda Rousey is going to win by KO. She does not, she wants to make Misha tap out, but she wants to knock her out even more. The takedown average, Ronda Rousey averages 8 takedowns, whereas Misha Tate averages 3.4. Takedown defense, Ronda is 50%, and Misha's only 20. Now, these two women are no stranger to the fight game. They have a lot of glitz and glamour to them. They're both very attractive. Both of them, very attractive. But Ronda Rousey has made no bones about it. She wants to hurt Misha Tate. Now, that can be a detriment because she wants to fight her so bad that she might forget some of her technique. And I'm telling you, Misha Tate's already in her head. During the show, because they were also coaches on Tough Enough, and Misha Tate's competitors won the show because they were coaching men and women. And Misha Tate's side won. I'm not going to say that's a precursor to this fight, but historically, the champions of Tough, their coaches, have gone on to fight, and the one side that has won, that coach has also won the fight. I believe they've had 13 Toughs or 18 Toughs, and only 4 of the losing coaches have won the actual head-to-head fights. So I'm not calling it an upset, but it could happen. But I'm going to pick Ronda Rousey because she wants to go out and destroy this woman. This will be a bloody fight. Yes, this woman's fight will be bloody. So I'm picking Ronda Rousey. Lastly, main event. 6 months ago, I was in Las Vegas with my wife, and I had an opportunity to go see this or go see Zumanity. I'm not saying I regret going to see Zumanity, but I would have loved to have seen Anderson Silva get knocked out. Anderson the Spider Silva, former 185-pound champion. He likes to play in the octagon. He likes to jiggle, wiggle, and you know, have a good time. But this one time he got caught. Chris Weidman, the All-American, 10-0. Before the last fight, people were saying this was the kid that was actually going to defeat Anderson Silva. This was the one that everybody said, well, there was some doubt. And actually went in there and won. Anderson says he's not going to play around in this fight. And I believe him. I believe him. Will he walk totally through Chris Weidman? I don't know. I really don't know. But Anderson's motivated by two things in this fight. One, he wants his title back. And two, if he wins, he gets to fight Roy Jones Jr. in a boxing match, a real boxing match. So I'm not going to give you particulars of height, weight, and all this other. All I can say is this. If Anderson Silva is focused, as he says he is, and he's not going to play around, Chris Weidman is in trouble. I believe that Weidman can fight this fight smart and come out with a decision. I don't think he'll get submitted.
But if he tries to fight Anderson Silva, Silva will beat him. And I think Silva's going to try to turn this into a fight. I don't think he's going to be very scientific. He's going to try to fight him. He's going to try to maul him. He's going to try to use some of his Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But I just think the Spider is going to get his title back. So with that said, I'm picking Anderson Silva. Now, ladies and gentlemen, UFC 168 is live on pay-per-view. And as I said, the free prelims on Facebook, and then you have Fox Sports 1. We can view some of those free matches. But the big fights are coming on pay-per-view. If you want to wager on any of these items, and I suggest you do, Jerry, where should they go to do that?
Fantasy Sports Book and Casino.com.
Where winners win and players play. All right, JKT, I know you're tired of hearing about UFC and stuff like that, the same way I was tired of hearing about boxing and how good it is when it was just terrible. So, it's time to get down to the nitty-gritty. And JTATM Money.
Yes, sir.
If I can find it. I can't find it. Where is it at? Oh, man. No. Did we delete it? We didn't delete the football thing, did we?
What football thing?
Thing I normally play before we do football. Oh, no, I didn't. Here it is, right here.
Go! Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stack defenses in the pros. They must meld the butt of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. We teased you a little bit with some help with Sean. Red Fantasy came on for a high second. I think he just jumped off because he thought the show was over with. But we're going to start NFL Week 17. Now, for years, in my fantasy leagues, I make Week 17, or the last week of the regular season of fantasy leagues, mean something. They're divisional games. The NFL jumped on board last year, and I would like to say that I had something to do with it. I might not have, but I like to think I did. This week, a lot of divisions and playoff seedings are determined by Week 17. And I also believe that they did this because the NFL noticed that a lot of their big-time stars were sitting Week 17 because they had nothing to play for. And I recognized it because I'm a forward thinker a long time ago and said, that just makes no sense. You know, some of these guys are needed to win Super Bowls. Drew Brees needed to win a Super Bowl. You know, and stuff like that. So, JTATM Money, you know where I'm going to go? We're going to do this a little differently, JT.
Okay.
I'm going to take it to a specific website. Do you know what website I'm going to go to, JTATM Money?
Fantasy Sports Book and Casino, where winners win and players play.
Yeah! How did you know? Yes, I'm going to go there. We're going to go in, and we're going to do this for point spreads. Now, we're also going to pick, you know, winners and losers and all that. But, oh, my goodness, did I forget my password and all that other good stuff? I sure enough did. Do you know your stuff, JTATM Money?
Oh, my God. Hold on. Let me get to there. Hold on. Where is that?
I know I got it. I shouldn't forget my own stuff. That's just not good, is it? It's not good business.
No.
I got it. Just give me a second.
Where is that?
You don't even know your own stuff either. Terrible, 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 I tell you. But I got it right here. I got it. I got to do this so I can do that. Look at the point spread and take care of business. But, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to these sites. That tells me you haven't been going to the site and participating because you're not a winner. All right. I got it. I see how you are. What a friend you are, Mr. Grinch. You haven't been wagering. But let's go here. Right now, Carolina is a 7-point favorite over the Atlanta Falcons over at FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com. Atlanta's at home. They haven't been that good this year. They're looking at probably getting the number 4 or 5 pick in the draft this year coming up. Carolina's already locked in a playoff spot, but they're fighting for the division because if they win and somehow, some way, later on in the day, New Orleans loses, they win the division, they become the number 2 seed, and they get a bye week. That's some good stuff for a team that started out kind of rocky this year. And a lot of people are saying, not Chip Kelly as coach of the year, but Ron Rivera. What do you got to say about this game, starts and sits, and the point spread, JT?
What is it now?
7 points for Carolina.
Over
Atlanta.
Oh, I like. And they're playing in Atlanta?
Yep.
I'd have to go with. I like Atlanta. I think they're going to beat that point spread. I think they're going to win by at least 10 points.
So you're picking Atlanta to win by 10?
Oh, no. Who's the favorite? Atlanta?
No, Carolina.
That's what I'm saying. I like that point spread. I think Carolina's going to win by at least 10 points.
Oh, I thought you said Atlanta's going to win by 10 points.
No. That was my bad. I meant to say Carolina. Sorry about that.
It's all right. We know you're old. All right, moving on. Now, this game right here, I wanted to talk about this. But we got Sean and stuff on the line. But this game right here, Chicago at Green Bay. Green Bay at Chicago. The winner goes home. The winner goes to the playoffs. The loser goes home. Jay Cutler and Aaron Rodgers. Budding rivalry or just a flash in the pan? I think it can become a budding rivalry if Chicago re-signs Jay Cutler. Because I think these guys are the cream of the crop of the North. Matthew Stafford could be, but isn't, a elite quarterback neither is Jay Cutler just yet. I think Jay Cutler makes better decisions than Matthew Stafford.
Speaking of Matthew Stafford, before you go any further, the question was posed to him in whatever press conference he had, whether he would be how he would feel about having a quarterback guru or someone that had worked with quarterbacks work with him over the off season, and he more or less said that ain't happening. He more or less dismissed it. He said he wouldn't go for that at all, which just turned me off of Matthew Stafford right there, meaning that he's locked in. He thinks his you know what doesn't stink in that no one else can give him any pointers to help him out on his mechanics or his decision making.
And that's not a good sign. That definitely isn't a good sign.
No, that's not a good sign.
No. Because
whenever you think you're too full of yourself or you're perfect in everything you do, and you're not, and people see flaws in your delivery or flaws in your decision making and your game, that's when you stop growing. And Jerry Rice, up until he retired, you know, he worked hard every day. And he pushed people to work hard every day. Peyton Manning, same thing. They might not be the end-all to be-all, and there might be flaws in their game or flaws in their game when they were playing, but they never stopped learning or practicing or trying to get better.
Right.
And that's a big no-no. But Green Bay going to Chicago. The last time these two played, the Bears broke Aaron Rodgers' collarbone. First game back, Aaron Rodgers in this game. Randall Cobb may or may not play. He's leaning toward him playing. This is a winner-take-all. I think Green Bay, because Eddie Lacy looks like he might not play. And if he does, he won't play that much. And I think they need Eddie Lacy, even though I know the Bears' run defense is poor, and their defense is just poor. I think they need him to win this game. If it were Aaron or Flynn, I still think they need Eddie Lacy to win this game. I'm telling you, Chicago wins this game, but I'm still going on my Fire Mark Trestman bandwagon because I don't like how they did Levy. But I'm picking Chicago and the point spread in this game.
Well, you tell me what the point spread in this is right now.
Green Bay
Who's favorite?
Is favored.
Green Say
Bay
that again.
By two.
You're breaking
Green
up.
Bay
Say that again.
Green Bay is favored by 2.5
You're breaking
points.
Up. Say that again.
Green Bay, 2.5 points.
Are you moving around or what's going on? Because I can hardly understand what you're saying because you're breaking up.
Okay, dude, I said Green Bay is favored by 2.5 points.
Well, I like Green Bay. I like Green Bay. Jay Cutler had the very bad record against Green Bay. I think it's like 7-1. I mean, 1-7 or 2-6, something like that. They have his number. I like Green Bay in there. Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. Next matchup means a lot to you. Not really. But if they lose, they'll get the number one pick overall. The Houston Texans take on the Tennessee Titans, where Tennessee is favored by 7.5 points. Matt Schaub starts again. You got your fourth string running back starting the game for Houston. I'm going to go with Tennessee, but I don't think they cover the spread. What do you got?
Well, we're on a nice streak here of 13 in a row. Why break the streak? Tennessee wins the game. We get the number one pick, and but Tennessee doesn't cover.
Okay. On to Cleveland at Pittsburgh, where Pittsburgh's fighting. They're desperate. They are desperate. Well, Pittsburgh's fighting for a playoff spot. And, again, this could impact the draft picks for next year for Pittsburgh. If you recall, the Mike Tomlin scandal where he was walking in the white line and Jacoby Jones, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, maybe not scored a touchdown on that kick return. But remember, the NFL reserved the right to remove a draft pick or so from Pittsburgh depending on how things fall. Both of them are still in the race, Pittsburgh and Baltimore. But if Pittsburgh gets in and Baltimore doesn't, I look for some type of punitive damage to take place against Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh's favorite by 7 points. They are at home. Cleveland has been herky-jerky as of late. That defense hasn't stood up like it normally would. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh, who has been hot as of late. 7-point favorite, Pittsburgh. They cover. JT.
Well, I definitely go with Pittsburgh. Cleveland doesn't have a good record against Pittsburgh at all. And they're playing in Pittsburgh, regardless of what the circumstances, if they make the playoffs or not. Two division rivals that definitely don't like each other, and they want to go out on a high note. I like Pittsburgh. And what's the point spread?
Seven.
Seven?
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh covers.
All right. To a game that has meaning to me, as well as St. Louis Rams, Washington goes to the New York Giants, where the Giants are a 3-point favorite. No Victor Cruz, but there's Hakeem Nicks, as well as Ruben Randle, and Jernigan, the wide receiver Jernigan, and Andre Brown. Now, here's the deal, ladies. If the Redskins happen to win this game, Atlanta loses, and a few other lose, the Redskins will not be the number 2 overall pick. They would, regardless of that, they still have to give it to St. Louis. If they win, Atlanta and a few other lose, they drop down to maybe 6th or 7th pick. Does that make it any better that they have to give it up to St. Louis? Yes. The reason why I say yes is because St. Louis won't get the number 2 pick in this upcoming draft, but that, most assuredly, in my opinion, they will get Jadeveon Clowney. You put him on one end. You got Chris Long on the other end. You got Robert Quinn in the middle, along with another DN, probably D tackle. You're looking at a monster front four in St. Louis. Going back to Deacon Jones, Merlin Olsen, and those other two guys that Jerry grew up with, that would be monstrous, in my opinion. So, I think the Redskins win this game. They cover the 3-point spread, of course, because they're going to win. I also think the over-under, which is 45.5, I think it goes over 45.5. You're going to see Alfred Morris run a lot more. Hopefully, we'll see more than Pierre Garçon get involved, because I know that Prince Amakamura, along with Samari Roll or Antoine Roll, is going to double Pierre Garçon, and Pierre has not been able to beat the double team his entire career. I look for maybe Santana Moss to get a little bit more in here, a little more involved, and a few others. Redskins win this game to cover the points. What you got, JT?
I do like the Redskins in this game. I know it's playing at the. I know it's played at the MetLife Stadium, but
mm-hmm.
I still like think the Redskins pick up this win, and it's quite naturally, just like you said, if they pick up the win, I think they're going to cover the 3 points. I think Kirk Cousins is going to. Rebound from his relatively bad showing last week. I know they're going to try to probably run the ball just like they did, but I think Kirk Cousins is going to make enough plays to beat the Giants.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got about 5 minutes left of live air before we go into overtime, or actually 6, but let me get this out. I want to say congratulations to one of our hosts, Sylvia Crawley, who made her broadcast debut of the American Basketball Association Conference or something like that. Sorry, Sil. This past Friday, and you can check them out, her commentary and stuff like that. I'm not sure when we're going to get Sil back or if we're going to get her back because she's starting her commentary portion of her career. For ESPN and Fox and now this basketball conference. So hopefully, she'll fit some time in to do her show again. Until then, we're going to run reruns every Monday. So check that out. Also, we have JT ATM Money tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. JT going over the final week in fantasy in the NFL. What else you got going on tomorrow, JT?
You know, I'm thinking about also talking about looking to 2014, about who would be the number one draft pick. Who's going to be the number, the top 10 draft picks? In fact, I think in a standard 12-team league, who will be the top 12 draft picks? I think I may run it down. I know it's early. I know it's the last week of fantasy for a few people. Most people did theirs last week. But what better way to finish the fantasy season to look toward 2014?
Sounds like a good show. May call in. Better tell Reverend Fancy get in his scripture so he can study up. Yeah, that might be good. Tomorrow, that'll be Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also, ladies and gentlemen, you can also listen to us on spotonradio.webs.com. Listen to us streaming 24/7 right there. And if you don't want to go there or you have another browser you want to open up, go to fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com and stream there. Both sites up and running, good to go, and we're doing what we can to get our message out. That's fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Also, spotonradio.webs.com. And where can people go, JT, if they want to make a wager and win some money?
FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play.
Woo! In my Ric Flair voice. That will be right. All right, so we did Monday, we did Sunday. Then on Thursday, we've got FSP Crucial, also sponsored by FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. So go there today and play. FSP Crew Show, JKATM Money, Black the Bookie, Jeff the Joker, every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're going to be breaking down the playoffs, because the playoffs are going to start this upcoming Saturday or next Saturday in the NFL, as well as probably talk about maybe the Pro Bowl selections. Who was snubbed and who was selected? We'll see if they talk about that or something else, maybe boxing or whatever else comes along. Maybe even talk about a little basketball. So, you know, I'll do my Jerry voice. Maybe a little basketball, baseball, football.
Football.
And now you listen to the master plan. All right. But you might catch that on FSC Crucial. Then on Friday at 8 p.m., 7 p.m., Eastern Time, you have Mac Williams with No Chaser. He and Jerry do things a little differently. Maybe they'll talk politics, maybe they won't. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully, Mac can bring on another great guest and we can publicize it and get some stuff going there.
We do have a guest coming on Friday.
Yeah, I need some info so I can start spreading the word. So I need you to make sure you get me that as soon as possible. Or have
yes.
Matt give it to you, one or the other.
No problem.
You happen to know who it is?
Oh, my God. Hold on a minute here. In fact, I happen to be on it. Hold on a minute here. Happens to be, come on, don't freeze up on me. Just be patient here. Be patient, Mr. Gardner. I'm going to get this right for you because we had this guy on before, and this is David Chase, I think his name is, if I'm not mistaken. Just bear with me for a minute. I'm getting to
Chase
Mac.
Chase Entertainment? Is it Chase Entertainment?
We're going to be having Brian Chase. I'm sorry.
Brian Chase, the former VTech Hokie. Yes, we're going to be having him. He's going to be coming on the 3rd of January, which is next Friday. This Friday.
Okay. Brian Chase, former Miami Heat, former Virginia Hokie.
Yes.
Former, a lot of things. Made his 3rd appearance on the show, so that's great. I think he's going to do a part 2 on that. We're about to go to overtime, ladies and gentlemen. Stick and stay. Come back and check us out in the archive. We're now in the overtime. So let's get back to our picks and predictions. Baltimore, Golden Cincinnati. Big game for both teams. Baltimore is fighting for the playoff lives. Cincinnati, believe it or not, can jump to the number 2 seed in the AFC if they win and New England loses. That's amazing to me. So this has a lot of implications. And Cincinnati at home, as you said earlier, JT, they are 7-0 at home this year. Can they make it 8-0 and end Baltimore's run at the playoffs, as well as Joe Flacco's year of making the playoffs every year he's been in the league? I'm going to say Baltimore, with a 7-point favorite, wins the game and covers the point spread. What you got?
Baltimore against Cincinnati, huh? In Cincinnati. Well, I'd have to think Baltimore's playoff dreams. They may be Super Bowl champions last year, but they're one of the teams that won't make the playoffs this year. I think Baltimore goes down against Cincinnati, and you say the point spread is what?
7.
Oh, I don't know about 7. They usually play some close games. So Baltimore loses, but covers the spread.
Okay. Now to the biggest, the second biggest point spread of the weekend. And I don't think it's going to get covered. Jacksonville goes to Indianapolis. Jacksonville has been pretty good as of late. Indianapolis shocked me. Even though I said it was going to be Donald Brown left, Donald Brown right, Donald Brown up the middle, Trent Richardson right, Trent Richardson left, Trent Richardson up the middle last week, and it was. Jacksonville is a different animal. I'm not sure what we can expect from them in this game. Indianapolis has already won a division, so it doesn't mean. But Jacksonville is looking for an opportunity to, get a lower draft pick position, which would be amazing since they were the number, 2 pick overall last year?
Yes.
They're going to be 10 or 11 this year. They have more wins than the Washington Redskins, so that says something. But they're 12-point dogs in this game. 12-point dogs. Wow.
12-point dog to Indianapolis?
Yeah. I think Jacksonville.
And it's playing in Jacksonville?
No, they're playing in Indianapolis.
Well, Indianapolis does have something to play for.
What? They're not moving up in the standings. They'll still be number 4.
No, Indianapolis has something to play for. I'm not exactly sure, but I know that there's a lot of scenarios, and Indianapolis is included in one of them, that has something to play for. I think if things fall right, they can move up to the number 2 seed, if I'm not mistaken. The only team that does not have anything to play for in both sides of the playoff scenario, in NFC, AFC, is Kansas City. They're locked in. They can't move. Everyone else has seeding implications, whether they win or lose, or a combination of teams win or teams lose. And Indianapolis is included in it. So they have something to play for. 12, that's an awful lot, man. I have to take Jacksonville in the points.
But are you picking Indianapolis to win?
Oh, Indianapolis more likely is going to win the game. I have to believe that, but Jacksonville is going to cover. They're not going to lose by 12 points.
Okay. Let's go Philadelphia-Dallas. Another game, win and in, lose and go home. Kyle Orton starts for the Cowboys and Jerry Taj Mahal. As Tony Romo has been placed on the disabled list. Nick Foles, the one bad outing that he had, came against this terrible Dallas Cowboy defense. But right now, Philadelphia is their 7.5-point favorites to the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, Sunday night. Philly's kind of hot. I look at them to win this game, but I see a lot of DeMarco Murray in this game. Which is going to be tough because that means that they're going to have the Cowboys are going to have the ball. Kyle Orton isn't a slouch. He's a pretty decent quarterback. And if Romo, you know, were able to play, I would still give it to Philly. But I'm going to give it to Philly, and I'm going to give them – they're going to cover. They'll cover the 7.5. JT?
Something tells me that I should be taking Dallas in this. I know, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. When all the experts and a lot of people are picking the Philadelphia Eagles, jumping on that bandwagon, praising how much that the Philadelphia Eagles are probably going to beat the Cowboys, because the Cowboys always fail. Or when they pump up one side versus another, or a player, one player versus another, or against a team, it's ironic that at that time, the exact opposite happens. And you know what? I think it may happen here. Everybody's counting Dallas out for the most part, thinking, even though it's Kyle Orton playing at home, he knows the system. I think I'm going to pick Dallas Cowboys in an upset to take it from the Philadelphia Eagles and Nick Foles and put themselves into the playoffs and have Philadelphia go home with their head between the tail.
Mm.
Or the tail between the legs, I should say.
Well, I just got a message, JT, from our boy Sean. He needs a tight end. And you know who I'm going to suggest? Because I can't think of anybody else right now. Mercedes Lewis. He's been doing pretty good as of late.
I don't like Mercedes. I don't like Mercedes Lewis against Indianapolis. Indianapolis is pretty good against the tight end.
Well, what's a good, viable tight end that's on the market right now that would not be generally out there for somebody, that would be out there for somebody to sign on somebody's team?
Well, the Tennessee Titans are playing the Houston Texans, right?
Yep.
And more than likely, Delanie Walker is taken by someone. But,
yep.
But there's a tight end sleeper, and I'm playing him in my neighborhood league. I'm playing him because he's going to get some looks, whether it's from Matt Schaub, preferably, or against Case Keenum, who may start. I'm talking about Ryan Griffin from the Houston Texans. I understand that Mercedes Lewis is a more established player, but I like Ryan Griffin because he's been getting a lot of targets over the last few weeks. And he's really the only option that the Houston Texans have in the tight end position, which they like to throw to. This time of season, there's not too many tight ends out there. Another one would be, and it's really a toss up in the air, a flip of the coin, who you want to take, because both of them have been getting looks. I'm talking about Brent Celek or Zach Ertz from the Philadelphia Eagles. They've been getting a lot of looks from Nick Foles, and is probably a good shot against that defense in Dallas to go with one of those two guys, because they're going to get some looks.
Okay. One guy that I also mentioned would be Fred Davis, maybe. He's gotten a couple of looks lately with Jordan Reed not being able to play. He's been, you know, thrown to a few times. He's been targeted. So those are some options. I just typed them up to Sean and put it on the Facebook page, and hopefully he gets them and looks at it. But he sent that about 20 minutes ago, and I'm just now looking at it. But it is what it is. Let's keep moving. Hopefully that helps you, Sean, if you listen to the show again. Your Jets go to Miami. Miami's a 7-point favorite. Miami currently holds the sixth seed in the playoffs. They win, which they should. They hold on to that seat unless something crazy happens with San Diego, if I'm not mistaken. But Miami wins. They keep that spot. They're in. And I think they cover the 7 points. Rex has done a great job with what little he had. I don't think he gets fired. We talk about this on Thursday. I just think the Jets are in total disarray, quite frankly. So they're not going to produce anything. And Miami needs this win, especially in the midst of all the crap that's gone on. They've actually played better without Richie Incognito and Martin than when they had them. So this could be a blessing in a very bad disguise, but a blessing nonetheless. Miami, 7 points, play them. JT.
Well, I do like Miami, but I disagree with you, the Jets being disarray. They're playing for a coach's job. They're playing hard. But the problem is when they go on the road, they are absolutely horrible, especially Geno Smith. This is a division rivalry. The Jets wouldn't be more than happy to send Miami home and out of the playoffs, and the Miami Dolphins would be more than happy to spank the Jets and give them one more loss and hopefully get rid of Rex Ryan. But that, I don't think either one of us is going to happen. I think Rex Ryan stays. He's going to be next year's coach. But the Jets lose, and Miami covers.
Okay. All right. Let's move on as the time grows near, because we won't get cut off like we did last time on the master plan. Detroit Lions at Minnesota. Detroit is not favored in this game on fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, where winners win and players play, which is amazing to me because Minnesota is favored by 2.5 points. AP's not playing, or he might not play. Toby Gerhart is not playing. Matt Asiata is going to play again. Now, last time Matt Asiata played, I said play the guy. He could have helped you go to the playoffs or win your playoff week. This week I'm saying don't play him, don't start him, don't get him. And Detroit is going to win this game. Why they are dogs by 2.5 points, I don't know. I don't know. But I think Detroit, they're not playing for Schultz for his job. I think he's going to get fired on Monday, personally. Win or lose. Leslie Frazier is gone, win or lose. I'm picking Detroit, and they will do more than win by 2.5. They're going to win by 10. But if you go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com and you see Detroit Lions, 2.5 point dogs, you need to take that one. I would. JT?
Well, Minnesota has a way of
surprising people, especially in their house. Detroit, Calvin Johnson is supposedly not going to play. We don't know how much Reggie Bush is really going to play or if it's just going to be the Drake Bell show. I don't know. Minnesota's favored by 2.5. Detroit's better against the run than they are against the pass. Wow. That's a pick'em game to me. You know what? I would take Minnesota. I'd take Minnesota in this game. I really would take Minnesota in this game at home.
With the 2.5?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. All right. I disagree, but, you know, we disagreed before. All right, let's go. Buffalo at New England, where New England is a 9-point favorite. Buffalo has beaten New England one time in the past, what, 7-10 years, but they've never beaten them in New England in that time frame. New England has something to play for. Buffalo can spoil their party and propel another team into the number two slot. You know what? I know it's a 9-point dog, Buffalo is, but I'm going to pick Buffalo to win the game outright. But if they don't, New England does cover the point spread. If they don't, if Buffalo does not win outright, New England covers the point spread. But I got Buffalo. JT.
Plain and simple, New England destroys Buffalo.
There you go.
New England and the point spread.
You putting meat in your mouth. What are you eating now?
Say what? What are you talking about?
You like putting meat in your mouth. It sounds like you're eating. What are you eating?
I'm not eating anything. I'm saying Detroit is going, excuse me, the Patriots are going to beat Buffalo. Plain and simple.
It sounds like you're eating a sandwich.
Nope. Not at all.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Wow, a couple of 13-point spreads. This is crazy. New Orleans at home to face Tampa. Now, this is crazy. New Orleans went from being the number two seed to possibly being the number three seed. I mean, the number six seed in a matter of 1 week. That's crazy. That's crazy. They take on Tampa Bay at home, 13-point favorite, and they cover this, even though a division rival is always tough. I think New Orleans says, you know what, if we don't win, we're not in the playoffs. And with 10 wins and not making the playoffs, that's not good. But 11 wins and you're considered the number five or six seed is crazy in my opinion. But it's what's going to happen. So New Orleans wins and the 49ers, no matter what happens in that game, the 49ers are locked in because they got a playoff spot regardless. But, oh, no, they don't. They don't have a playoff spot regardless. They didn't clinch a playoff berth. I don't think they did because the winner
no.
of their game. Yeah, okay. So New Orleans wins. They're in at number five, possibly number six. Because if Carolina wins, they're number two, if I'm not mistaken, because they've won the division. Correct?
Yes.
Carolina, yeah, okay. All right, so I got New Orleans winning, covering the 13 points. What you got?
I have New Orleans winning and winning handily. Like I've said before, a lot of these teams that have nothing to play for, they're good, especially if this is the division rivals with all these guys, all these teams playing against. They're going to come out, play hard,
give them their best shot in the first quarter or even maybe into part into the second quarter. As soon as these better teams flex their muscles, these guys are ready to pack up and go home. Tampa Bay is one of those teams. Even though Shiano probably last hurrah, I think New Orleans spanks them royally.
Okay. Should they cover that 13?
Yes.
All right, all right, all right. Here we go. Let's move on. Denver at Oakland. So, Denver is favored by 12 points to go into Oakland and shore up that number one spot. I think they're going to Oakland because they're in such disarray as far as player-wise. They cover the 12th, and they get that number one spot and lock it in. Manning and the rest of those boys are done by midway halftime. I think that's the case. You'll see Brock Osweiler, that big 6'7 guy, come in and play quarterback. What you got?
12 points, and they're playing where? In Oakland?
Yes, they are.
I'll take Denver in the win, but not the point spread.
Really?
I'll take Denver in the win, but not the point spread. 12-point point spread?
Yeah, 12 points.
Two touchdowns, give or take? No. I'll take the Denver in the win, but not the point spread.
Okay. What about the over-under? 53.5.
53.5. I take the under.
Really?
They're playing in Oakland.
Okay. I got you.
If they're playing in Denver, I would take the over. If they're playing in Oakland, I take the under.
All right. Well, in this game, which I predicted in the summer would be very, very consequential, that's been a good prognosticator and guru. Just going to say it like that.
Go right ahead.
FantasySportsbookAndCasino.com has it listed as a pick'em. San Fran comes to Arizona. Winner is in. Loser stays at home. Big time. Big time. I'm picking Arizona. Since it's a pick'em, there's no point spread to go off of. And I'm picking AZ.
This is a serious game here. This is must-see TV. Both these teams, since Arizona has stepped up on the offensive side, this is a must-see TV. Both these teams have got to bring the big boy pants because there's going to be some spanking of butts in this matchup. This is for your playoff life. You damn Skippy, somebody's going to be very disappointed. If they don't win this game and get in the playoffs. One of these teams is going to have double-digit wins, 10 or 11 wins, and not get into the playoffs. That's unbelievable.
Exactly.
You realize that? That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Both of these teams have 10 wins right now, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep.
So one of these teams is going to go home with 10 wins. To be 10-6 and going home, and the other is 11-5 and going to go into the playoffs. And I'm picking the boys from Tempe, Arizona.
Oh, no. I need to go back and play a soundbite from the summer. You definitely didn't have that said last summer.
Well, Victor, didn't I text you, I think, last night, And I said I admit that this was a surprise to me that Arizona has played as well as they played. Now I knew they were going to improve on the offense because this you're talking about a coach talking about Bruce Arians as a quarterback guru and a offensive guru. This guy's worked magic in two different franchises and surprised people with two different franchises. Meaning Indianapolis, and now Arizona, with Carson Palmer and company. I'd have to admit, I thought they would be better. I didn't think that it would be that much better. They've gotten 10 wins out of this team, and I see them doing bigger and better things next year. So I'm thinking against good defenses, Colin Kaepernick struggles. I'm thinking Arizona at home is going to be victorious. I hate to say it, but you're right. They're better than I thought they would be. No, I texted you yesterday, and I'll say on air, you're right. They're better than I thought they would be. I never thought they would be better, but I didn't think they would be double digits better in wins.
Hold on. Jerry, I need you to do that after I do this, okay? I need you to say that one more time. Say it again. Go ahead. Say it.
I said you were right. I was wrong. They were better.
Thank you.
Than I thought they would be.
I need to have my drum roll. I need to have
that.
A drum roll.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I'll let you have your glory because you deserve it. I'm not one to try to downplay your prognostication earlier before the season started. I give you credit where credit is due, and I have to admit that I didn't think Arizona would be that good. I knew they'd be better, like I said, but because of Bruce Arians. But I didn't think they would be that much better. A double digit wins.
Hey, guy, I'm going to say this right now. If somebody doesn't go to Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com and make some wagers, they're a fool today. They are picking Kansas City as an 11.5-point dog to San Diego.
What?
Yes. They have San Diego as 11.5-point favorites in the matchup between them and Kansas City. That is ludicrous in my opinion.
Wow. I know they won't be playing their starters, but do you think they're going to be getting beat that by that much? Wow.
I am going to be making some wagers shortly after we get off this phone. I'm just going to put it like that. For sure.
Okay.
So, I'm picking Kansas City, regardless of their backups or their starters. I think they have something to prove. Last time they played, it was a high-scoring game. And they lost Tamba Ali and Chris Houston in that game anyway. So their backups were playing anyway. And the game was still close. I'm picking Kansas City to win and, of course, cover that point spread. That is ridiculous. 11.5 points for San Diego, even though it's in San Diego. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Still
mm-hmm.
can't do it. Still can't do it. Oh, and Sean has Martellus Bennett and Dennis Pitta. He need to play Martellus Bennett, man. What is he talking about? Okay. Would you play Martellus Bennett or Dennis Pitta or go pick up one of those tight ends we were talking about? I would play Martellus Bennett.
Martellus Bennett.
Yeah. Me too.
Yes, I would
That's what
play
I'm
Martellus Bennett. Cutler's definitely going to be looking for him. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. There we go. Now, back to the game. Who do you got? And are you going with the point spread or no?
Where?
Kansas City, San Diego.
Oh. San Diego's favored by 11 points or whatever?
11.5.
Well, I take San Diego. But they won't beat Kansas City by 11.5. No way. It ain't happen. That's not happening.
Okay. I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. All right. Last game of the NFL season, regular season, Sunday night. St. Louis Rams travel to Seattle. And Seattle is a 13-point favorite in this matchup. Give me your thoughts, JT, before I give mine.
Oof. Well, seeing as Arizona came in to beat Seattle last week, Seattle's pissed off, and St. Louis is going to suffer the consequences. Blowout written all over it. You say 13 point?
Mm-hmm.
They'll hit the 13 points.
Okay.
I like Seattle. They're gonna absolutely destroy him and make a statement. Absolutely.
Wow. I don't know, but 13 points is somewhat, wow, kind of big. All right, with that being said, I'm going to pick Seattle, definitely, and make things happen that way. Also, I'm going to say thank you to a great season for the NFL. I'm not going to say they're going to cover it. Seattle's going to cover that 13, though. I think they're going to cover that 13. But thanks to the NFL for giving us a great, great season this year, full of ups and downs and all these wonderful, mysterious things that we call football. Next time I'll be on the air, we'll be talking about the actual playoffs in football and wins and losses and who matches up with who. We're going to talk about a little basketball as well as, of course, UFC. And get you ready for a little baseball. Spring training is right around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. Right around the corner. So, anything you want to add, JT?
Not at this time. Great season. Hopefully I'll come out on tap. The fantasy gods will pray on me one more time. We'll be able to reap the rewards from the Yahoo League that Mr. Gardner has so graciously afforded us the opportunity to get.
You'll have something because you've made it to the championship. I mean, I need you to make a decision, and you need to be sensible about this. You really do. Shouldn't you pay all your league fees up front
No.
now and get them out?
No.
Why not?
No.
Why?
No.
Why?
Because you don't have any problems getting my league fees, and you'll get my league fees when it's necessary.
I know I never have a problem with it, but it just makes it so much easier.
Well, I don't like easy.
Ladies, you heard that, right? He does not like easy, so I'm not going to easily pay him whatever he wants.
No. You as the commissioner, if I am, well, I'm getting paid one way or the other. It's just whether what the amount's going to be. So, you as the commissioner have a right. I mean, excuse me, have a duty. To pay.
No, I got it right.
You have a duty to pay expeditiously after the season.
Yeah. I know. I'm just trying to prepare things because I have an option to roll some funds over, and I was going to roll it over if you said yes. But if not, I'll just take it out and do what I need to do. You suck. You really
okay.
do.
Why do you have to be like that? I want to win.
I know I sound like a baby, but
You do. You really do. You really do. A baby Huey. That's what I'm gonna call you now. How's that, baby Huey? A big baby.
Whatever. Shut up. I won't talk to you.
It is what it is, man. What can I tell you? I'll be watching the games very intently. Hopefully, Niles Davis and company bring me home.
I must say this.
I have to say this, and I'm gonna say it tomorrow too. If you've been following this show or these several shows over the years. One of the first calls I made in a running back and was downplayed when I first made that call because there was another running back in front of him and everybody was on that guy. I called out Jamaal Charles several years ago before Larry Johnson was pushed out of the picture in Kansas City. And my prognostication from over the years has come to fruition. he will be the number one choice next year in the NFL draft. And he should have been, like I had talked about earlier in the season, about taking AP or Jamal Charles or LeSean McCoy as the first pick. And I should have gone with my gut and stayed with Jamal Charles. Even though I got to where I got to in that Yahoo League with AP as the number one pick, I should have stayed with Jamal Charles because I just had a feeling about AP and about Jamal Charles, and my feeling was right. So I had to say that because next season I'm going with my gut because it's proven me right over the years.
Your gut has gotten fat over the years. What?
Besides that, but my gut has gotten me fat with money over the years too.
Whatever, you loser. Such a loser.
No way. I've had one of the better fantasy years I've had because I was focused. I have to admit, I sat on my laurels and thought I could just do things on automatic, make moves, and it would just automatically work. If you notice, I didn't make too many trades this year in any of the leagues, and the trades I made were calculated trades, and they, for the most part, worked out. So,
well, speaking of which, I have the number two pick, the number one or number two pick in ESPN next year.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I may or may not want to trade out, but I might want to trade into the first round. Seeing as though you are where you're going to be in the first round, are you interested in parting with your first round pick? If so, what would it take for me to get it?
What are you talking about? In ESPN?
Yeah.
In ESPN, I'm gonna have a lower first round pick.
That is
so
correct.
So, and I don't know, you would either have the first or second round, is that what you're telling me? The first or second pick?
Yes, indeed.
Well, I want that first pick.
And if you want Jamal Charles, my brother, because, you know, knowing that you want him means that I'm going to get him. I'm just going to let you know that right now.
Well, let me put it this way. Well, you know this guy. I got a man crush on this guy. You know it for years that I absolutely love this guy, and he hasn't disappointed year in and year out. He has not disappointed me. He's only gotten better.
Nope. And we did talk about this last year that with Andy Reid as the head coach, this
mm-hmm.
guy would flirt, and he has.
Yep.
So you know who I'm getting with the pick, whether I'm first or second. It all depends on you.
Well, you know, if you have the first pick, you know I'm gonna make a proposition to you. Not sure what it's going to be, but you know I'm going to make a proposition to you.
Hold on, you would want the pick, or you would trade me your first round pick?
Oh no, I want your pick.
Oh, you want my pick?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You have the first round pick. I mean, I could do wonders with where I'm going to be because I have before, but it's always nice to have a stud running back to start your draft off with. So.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
So.
Mr. Taylor. What a tangled web.
And if you noticed, in the leagues that we're in together, I think I was the majority of them, I think maybe one, I wasn't the highest point getter in the league. So I definitely would like to have you consider trading your first round pick, especially if you got the first or second pick.
I would consider it. I would definitely consider it.
But you have to win your matchup.
If I'm number one, I will win. I mean, when, one or two, do you think, all right, here's my question, before we get off the air, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get number two, you're telling me we're not going to deal. Is that what you're saying?
If you get number two, more than likely the person that's going to go in front of you is going to grab Jamal Charles. I can almost guarantee it. He's going to be hyped up so much. Trust me.
It's silent revenge. Silent revenge. You notice that last year's he and I were beefing or whatever, and we're both playing for the number one pick for this upcoming year.
Right.
So he's not going to get Jamal Charles.
What makes you say that? What makes you say that?
Because he's going to get AP or he's going to get Aaron Rodgers. I can tell you that.
Oh, no. No, he wouldn't do that.
Yeah, he would.
I'm telling you. All the experts, everybody, Vic, is jumping on Jamal Charles' bandwagon now. I've been on it for how long? I've been on it for a while. Everybody's jumping on Jamal Charles' bandwagon. He's going to be the overall consensus number one pick. NFL, CBS, ESPN, I'm telling you, everybody's jumping on that bandwagon, and he's going to be the number one pick, without a doubt. Anybody who goes into a draft next year and has the number one pick is going to be listening to that consensus and going to be wanting to jump and grab Jamal Charles. Anybody else who is thinking about AP or Aaron Rodgers as the number one pick is a fool. Is a fool. I'm telling you.
Okay.
If he gets the number one pick, he's going to Jamal Charles.
Well, if I get the number one pick, what are you willing to give me in order to get Jamal Charles?
Well, think about it. I mean, quite naturally, you're going to get my number one pick. Quite naturally.
And what else?
Is
the question.
Oh, I have to look at that. I mean, you know, I have to think about that. A one and a
one
five
and
or something like that or whatever.
Oh, no. 1 and 2.
No, hell no. Hell no. That ain't happening. You know that ain't happening.
Because my
two is right around the corner from my one. There's no way.
So you want to move up all the way to the number one pick
to get
Jamal Charles, but you don't want to give up your number two? No, Slim.
I'm not giving up my number two. There's no way I'm going to give up my number two. My number two is like the 12-team league. It's like the number 14th pick. No way.
Young man.
Or the number fourth pick, whatever it is, in the second round. No way. No way.
Young man.
No way.
Okay, well, I guess you don't want Jamal Charles, then. Because that's what
I said, I can work my magic no matter what position I'm in the league. So, I mean, whether I'm in the first pick, the sixth pick, because you guys were foolish enough to give me Jamal Charles last year in the neighborhood. Not neighborhood, but in the ESPN. I think I had I didn't have the first pick. I had the fifth or sixth pick. I forget what it was in ESPN.
Yeah, I know.
And I got,
I said I know.
And I got Jamal Charles, and I thought that was a joke. I thought I couldn't believe that. So, and you guys, this year made you a believer. Let me put it that way.
Well, Tom, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here.
No problem.
Play some wagers. All right. Some wagers on what's that website? I got to place those wagers on.
Fantasy Sports Book and Casino, where winners win and players play.
Yeah! I love it. I'm gonna get a commercial made for it, actually. I'm going to get a video commercial and an audio commercial made for it. So, be on the lookout for that. But let's get out of here. You know what to do.
Well, from Vic and I and from all the callers that we had, Rev Fantasy and Sean, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.